Blog Talk Radio.
Abba, on this holy day, we come before you, bowing the knees of our hearts, beseeching you, Abba, to please give ear to our prayer. Abba, I pray that you cleanse my heart and cleanse my mind by the blood of Yahusha, that I may stand before you, that I may stand before your people, that I may speak according to your divine will, as you shall lead by your spirit. Abba, I pray on behalf of the sons and daughters of Yisrael, scattered to the four corners of this world, that you forgive each and every one of us for the sin that we have committed against you, that you strengthen us all by your spirit, that we may all be obedient to your voice, that we may all be submissive to your divine will, that we may all remain steadfast in our walk upon that narrow and that straight path that you have set us upon. Father, I ask you to strengthen us all in the areas where we are weak. Sometimes in this life, Father, as you are fully aware, life happens, situations occur, and it brings our spirits down. But at this time and at this moment, Father, according to your word, we need to relieve ourselves of the burden that we carry throughout the course of the week. And we can only do that when you strengthen us by your spirit. Father, we ask you to assist us who are struggling mentally or emotionally, those who are suffering physically or spiritually, that we may lift holy hands, that we may praise you accordingly, for you are worthy to be praised through your Son, Yahushua, our Messiah. Father, as we continue in the lesson that you have placed upon our hearts, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things in your Torah. Open our ears that we may hear your spirit reveal the truth of your word. Father, we humbly and we sincerely ask all these in the name of Yahushua, our Messiah, through whom you promised, Abba, because he testified that whatsoever we shall ask in his name, we shall receive. And above all things, Abba, your will be accomplished in each and every one of our lives, individually and collectively. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses Torah, Moshe, his servant, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. And welcome once again to Bina Torah, Understanding Torah, as we pick up where we left off maybe 3 months ago in Kohelet, chapter 6. Before we do that, just a brief recap of some of what we have covered up to this point. And for those who are listening, if you wouldn't mind shooting me the text, let me know that everything's coming through clearly. Without a boss. So, prayerfully, everybody had a blessed week. A fulfilling week and had an opportunity to spend time with Yahushua, our Messiah. And speaking of Yahushua, our Messiah, have you accepted him as your Savior and as your Redeemer? All right. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 1. Just again, to give a brief recap of what we have been looking at up to this point. Because one of the things, when it comes to this word, and we've been talking about these types of things for some years now, man. You know, we've been going through these old writings, these old scrolls that have been updated and, you know, put in a book format, translated into a language that we can better understand. We've been going through these teachings for years. And you know, often, you know, we have to ask questions. And when we ask questions, the reason for the question is to get our minds thinking, you see, because Allah gave us that spirit, that spirit of life, that mind, as Mure Deoal had been touching on previously when he finished off last year by talking about the brain. And what happens is that the spirit Most High works with that brain, allowing this body to function in the form and fashion that it does. But back to the point. We've been going through this word for years, and oftentimes the question comes up, why? Why are we studying these words? Why are we studying these old writings, these old manuscripts? Is it relevant for today? Because you have many people in the world who don't agree. You have many people in the world who compare the word of Yah to being a fairy tale or a comic book. I had a conversation with a brother earlier this week. He was sharing with me a conversation that he had with a brother. And apparently this brother that he was speaking to was caught up into the wisdom of the world, is what we're going to call it. And because he was caught up in the wisdom of the world, part of the wisdom of the world is the rejection of the word of Yah. So he had something to say in regard to that. He considered whatever the information that he was spewing to the brother I was speaking to, he considered that as being more valid than Holy Scripture. Or what he, if I can remember correctly, what he referred to as being more or less organized religion, which is rooted in faith opposed to being rooted in fact. You see, a lot of people, they like to come with that logic or that reason as it pertains to the word. And that argument has been very pervasive to a whole lot of people when they look at it from that perspective. But, you know, I had to share with the brother something that the Most High brought forth through one of our other brothers some time ago in regard to knowledge. Because when it comes to knowledge, let me just add this, because when it comes to Holy Scripture specifically, a lot of times people like to say, well, that was just something written by man. And as the brother brought forth some time ago, isn't every book written by man? Simplicity. But what we had, and just to borrow another term that we got from another one of the Mure some time ago, what we have is that people, they like to not only buffet the words, people like to buffet information in general. And what I mean by that is, if you have these writings that are both written by man, you have to at some point come to acknowledge you are choosing this particular set of writings over that particular set of writings because they're both written by man. And man is subject to error. But when it comes to the word, and this is where the disconnect comes, although it was written by man, what we have come to understand is that the men that Yahweh used were moved by his spirit. Yeah, when we read in Kohelet, we're reading the experiences of Brother Shlomo. But these experiences are being shared with us as he is being moved by the Spirit of Yahweh. And that is the great difference. That is why we read this word, why we study this word daily, is what we should be doing. And when I say studying daily, it doesn't mean that you have to pick up the Bible and read it every day. But at some point during the day, if you're not reading it, you should at least be meditating on it. Because one of the things that I've also found throughout the years that I've had the opportunity to walk with the Most High, a lot of great revelation comes when you meditate on that word and the Creator begins to speak to you in your mind and begins to take you through that word and begins to open that word up and helps you to see further, as we often like to say. And prayerfully, as we go through some of the words of Brother Shlomo today, we'll be able to see a little further in regard to this thing called life. Now, several months ago, again, when we began going through Ecclesiastes. We were also discussing the idea about great philosophers, you know. And whenever people mention great philosophers, they often go back to the Greek philosophers, okay? And some have even started adding to that list of philosophers, philosophers. But nowhere in this listing is Brother Shlomo mentioned, who would also be considered a great philosopher. Now, when we think about what we're talking about here, okay, we're in Kohelet. Matter of fact, Ecclesiastes 1:1. The words of Kohelet, which we understand to mean the preacher, the son of Dawid, king in Jerusalem. Okay? Now, the word Kohelet is a term that is derived from another word, which is kahal. Kahal. Now, the word kahal, it means to convoke. And what does it mean to convoke? It means to cause, to assemble in a meeting. So when you think about the idea of Kohelet, you're talking about an individual who is now speaking to a group of people. Here's a question. What group of people is he speaking to? Easy answer, Israel. He's speaking to the sons and the daughters of Israel. Let's move on. He says, verse 2, and I'm going to read this in Hebrew. It says, Hebel Havalim Amer Kohelet. Hebel Havalim Hakol Hebel. Now what we're going to do, we're going to translate this literally based off of one of the definitions for the word Hebel and translate it as vanity. So when it says Hebel, it's basically a vapor. Okay? Think about it in that context. So he says, vapor. Vapors, said the preacher. Vapor. Vapors. All is vapor. Think about that. And when you think about vapor, think about the act of trying to grasp it, because this is the entire point of why this writing exists. There's a reason why. See, Abba, in his divine wisdom, as he moved upon his word to inspire the prophet, Abba understood what humanity needed. We don't understand it, but Abba understood. And as we go through prayerfully, we all get to see, not through the eyes of our carnality, but through Abba's eyes, because that is the intent and purpose why he gave us his word in the first place. We as human beings, matter of fact, before I even make that statement, let's go to verse 3. He says, what is a man profited by all his work, which he does under the sun? Now see, we as human beings, we exist in the physical plane, which Brother Shlomo describes as being under the sun. So what he actually is doing indirectly is revealing to us that there is another existence above the sun. But humanity, we exist under the sun. You have a lot of people coming to knowledge, you know, in regard to who we are. And some people are starting to acknowledge that we are spiritual beings. But they're missing something. And what they're missing, yes, we are spiritual beings. In the fact that, as was mentioned a moment ago, we have what's called the spirit of life. See, that spirit of life in each and every one of us, this is the part of us that makes us who we are. It's who we are. And as we've spoken about before, when you hear my voice, you're hearing my spirit talk to you. As the brother or Murray Dewald just went through the different senses. Everything in regard to those senses, the only exception being touch, because you have to actually have something physical to touch. But even when he made the example of the wind, you can feel that spirit, you know. You can feel it. But when it comes to the senses, when it comes to what we see, when it comes to what we hear, when it comes to what we smell, what we taste, we're able to comprehend these based on the mind and how it interacts with our spirit. You see? Our spirit. So in that sense, yes, we are spiritual beings, but we are limited, and this is the part that they miss. We are limited in that we are confined to this physical body and under the sun. But we are in this predicament for a reason. Abba knows best. There's a TV show that came out years ago, Father Knows Best. Abba knows best. See, he understood exactly what he needed to do for us to be made in his image and after his likeness. And what a lot of people fail to realize, when we look at the story, and we're going to get to that in a moment, when we look at the story of what took place to Adam, excuse me, Adam and Hawa in the garden, a lot of times we look at that as mankind making a mistake, which he did to some degree. But I say to some degree because these things occurred according to the will of the Most High, not against the will of the Most High, because there's something that we had to go through. And as we go through each of these different lessons prayerfully, we begin to see this clearer. Because there is a goal that we're going to. And yes, we know where we're headed in regard to that passage in the 12th chapter, as we talked about before. As a matter of fact, one of the Murays recently mentioned it. For those who listen and follow along with each broadcast, one of the Murray actually mentioned where we are going. But we're still going to take this journey. Why? Because if that's all Abba wanted us to know, then that's all Shlomo would have wrote. But that's not all he wrote. He wrote something else. Because there's other nuances of this life that Abba wants us to see. And not only just see in the sense of having the knowledge of it, there are things that Abba wants us to understand. We know the journey we've been on. As Murray Ahav, our author, reminds us, Kane Dina, he says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. But with all you're getting, Kane Dina, standing. Abba wants us to know. See? How people like to say things double today, because that's supposed to add emphasis to it. So what you hear people say, for real, you know, it's not enough to just say for real. You have to say for real. So Abba wants us to know, not just believe. Abba wants us to know. But in order for us to know, there's something we got to do. And we'll get to that as we continue through our lesson. So I was listening to one of my audio books and came to chapter 10. And I thought this was interesting, so I wanted to add this. And in chapter 10 of the audio book that I'm listening to, he starts it off like this. If the Bible is a party, Ecclesiastes is the party pooper. And I thought that was interesting for him to start that chapter off that way because of where we're heading. If the Bible was a party, Ecclesiastes would be the party pooper. Now think about what we've gone through up to this point. Okay? Think about that. And why Ecclesiastes would be considered. There are realities that Brother Shlomo is coming to. And he's sharing these realities with us. And let me just add this too. And I believe that everybody on the line, if you've been following and walking with Beth Yahweh for some time, you believe this. There's only one reality. There's only one truth. People's perception of that truth is relative, but it doesn't change the absoluteness of truth. Reality is what is real. No different than you hearing my voice right now. You're actually hearing my voice in real time, and as every second passes, we get further and further into the Sabbath day. This is real time. So there's only one reality, see? And according to this very same reality that we are all living, Brother Shlomo, in his personal experiences, remember that, was given wisdom by the Most High so that he can now share with us, as some like to say, the futility of life. That's why Ecclesiastes is referred to as the party pooper. But let's move on. Why Shlomo? Why do you think he was chosen to reveal this? Well, think about it in this context. Brother Shlomo's name means peaceful. When people say they had peace of mind, here's a question for us to ponder. Is it possible for an individual to have peace of mind yet be disconnected from Yahweh? Possible for a person to have peace of mind if they are disconnected from Yahweh? Now, people who are not connected to the Most High, of course, they're going to say yes. But here's the question. Is that peace of mind a genuine peace of mind? Or is that peace of mind fictitious? And what I mean by that is this. When you acknowledge this word as being the truth, when you acknowledge this life as being a reality, we all know and understand that we're all coming to an end. Text was sent out several days ago. With every breath we take, we get closer to our last breath. That applies to every human being alive, every human being who will be born. Once you come into this world, every breath you take, you take a step closer to your last breath. So the end, what people like to say, is inevitable. So if you have peace of mind not knowing what your end is, that peace of mind that you have is fictitious. Because people are under the impression that once you pass away, you enter into nothingness, and that's it. That's the end of the story. But according to the word, that's not it. Something else takes place. According to what we learn in the letter written to the Hebrews, says that it is appointed men once to die. And we're talking about humanity, mankind. We all die once. And to me, that verse alone destroys the whole doctrine of reincarnation. We only live once. And after that comes the judgment. See, that's the reality that people are not ready to accept. So if you have that disconnect from the Most High, again, how can you have peace of mind knowing that the judgment is coming? Knowing that you are going to have to stand before the Creator of the heavens and the earth and give an account for the life you chose to live. And that is for each and every human being. Every last one of us. This is the reality. Brother Shlomo, whose name means peaceful, a message. And the intent and purpose of this message is so we can truly have genuine peace of mind once we come to the understanding, again, carne bina, once we come to the understanding behind why Kohelet was written. So let's go to Bereshit, which is Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. He says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Their eyes were opened, and they both knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." Now, the reason why we wanted to go here, this actually ties into what More Arial fought for this past evening message, but he also had a series with that. Excuse me, a breach in the spirit. See, what this passage right here, or these verses right here depict, is when the breach in the spirit occurred. Okay? Now, I don't know how many people actually followed up and looked behind what is about to be told, but it's going to be reiterated again. When it states their eyes were open, when we understand, and the brother mentioned this last night, interesting enough, but I would make it do what it did. The brother mentioned gematria, which some people like to equate with numerology, but there's a difference. One language has been given by the Most High, and the other one wasn't. That's a great difference. One language is to show and prove the depth and the riches of the knowledge of the Most High in His Word. The other is not. There's a difference. Okay? But numerically speaking, which is another way, as we discussed, in regard to the four pillars of understand, or not understanding about, but the four pillars of Bible study. Now, I have to write that down and keep that in my mind, because we talked about four pillars to understand in the Word, then there are four pillars to study in the Word. Now, as far as the four pillars of study in the Word, one of those pillars is the comparative. One of the ways that we're able to compare words in Hebrew is being able to calculate those words, because these letters have numeric values. And when we're able to calculate these words, this term, their eyes were open, even though it looks like several words in the English language, it's only one word in the Hebrew language. And the calculation of that one word ties into this word, tardema. Tardema. See, and the word tardema is used, and we're going to look at that word a little later too, but the word tardema means, or it was translated when the scriptures teach that Yahweh put Adam in a deep sleep. A deep sleep. That's the word tardema. So the point being is this. When Adam and Hawa's eyes were open, and I'm going to say it this way, because they were the first man and the first woman, when their eyes were open, simultaneously, there was a breach in the spirit. Why? Because they entered into a deep sleep at the same time, which is why the scriptures continue, and they both knew that they were naked, whereas a moment ago, they didn't know that. They didn't understand that. Something happened. In a moment's time, they changed. And we're going to look at why they changed as well. Well, we're going to look at the conditions now that they became subjected to. We'll get to that momentarily. But I wanted to touch a little bit more on this tardema, just a little bit more. Because what we want to do, we're going to utilize that comparative aspect of studying the Bible. So you have this word, you can look it up in 869 in the Hebrew lexicon. It says a lethargy. Okay? It says, or, by implication, trance. Now, if you look up the word trance, think about this. The term trance means hypnotic, cataleptic, or ecstatic state. Think about that. I don't know if anybody ever seen what a hypnotist does. I mean, in real life, you may have seen it on a TV show or on a movie. And basically, what they have learned how to do is to get inside people's minds and make suggestions. See, now think about that, okay? Think about the fact that a human being has learned how to do this to another human being. If we live in a world where there are evil spirits that move about, and we don't see that movement, but they are around us wherever we go, if a human being has learned how to put another human being in a hypnotic state, what is an evil spirit capable of doing? An entity that we can't see, because we see a human being and we follow their instructions so that we can be put into this hypnotic state. Maybe it's for some type of show. But now what happens, you lose who you are. Think about that. But we don't want to stay there. We want to take it a little further, because this term is derived from another term, number 7290, which is the word radam, radam. Now, the term radam, it means to stun, that is stupefy. And then it has a parenthesis with sleep or death. So now what this does, what this helps us to see, because some people say, well, hold up, brother, the Bible says that the day that they ate of that fruit, they were supposed to die, and they were still alive. Well, now you don't understand the thought of the Most High. Because in actuality, Adam and Hawa, when their eyes are open and they enter into that deep sleep, guess what? They died. Because they were disconnected from Yahweh. That was their death. And he has his word here to substantiate that. Because the word Tardema is derived from the term radam, which basically means, you know, to daze or to render senseless. We look up the term to stun. To stun somebody means to daze them or to render them senseless. Think about these things. Allah continues to reveal over and over in this way and that way similar points. What similar point are we referring to? Well, think about the fact that you have a prophecy talking about a woman who rode upon a beast, who had a golden cup in her hand, filled with the abomination, and filled with the fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth, they drank from this cup, and they became drunk or intoxicated. Well, in other words, if a person becomes drunk or intoxicated, you lose the control of your mental and your physical faculties. Similar to, and this here is primarily focused on what's going on in the mind, to bathe or to render senseless. You don't have any sense anymore. Think about that. Some of you may have heard it too. Common sense isn't common anymore. That is so true. Now, most high willing, I don't know how many people have seen it. I'm sure you all have heard about it. There's a documentary out by a gentleman by the name of Matt Walsh, and it's called What Is a Woman? Now, most high willing, we'll be having some copies of that, and I just want the congregation to watch it. If you haven't watched it already, if you watched it already, then you understand the point that I'm about to make. Or if you haven't watched the full documentary, you may have seen little excerpts that people may have posted on YouTube or people may have posted on TikTok or what have you. I would recommend that you watch the documentary in its entirety, because there are other things that's being shown in there when you watch the full documentary. But one of the things that you start to see is that humanity, especially those who are leaning towards this belief in transgenderism, humanity has lost their mind. They have. And you see it clearly. And just to give you an example of something that comes about. See, the brothers and I, we oftentimes, we talk about different things. And see, there's this old saying, Pandora's box, which is a mythology drawn from the account that we just read that happened to Adam and Hawa. Because when this took place, that breach in the spirit, we're going to call it, and all H-E double hockey sticks broke loose. That's what happened. Okay? So now, when you open up the door, I say that to say this. When you open up the door and you are now accepting that a man believes that they are a woman or that a woman believes they are a man, you are accepting this. You can't deny when a person believes that they're an animal. By the same logic and the same reason that you use to support the transgenderism or the gender fluidity, you now have opened the door to where you have to accept that. And guess what? They have accepted it. In this documentary, they show an example. This brother, Matt Walsh, was talking to somebody. Now, I don't know how many schools are incorporating this, but there's a school, I can't remember where it is. The child, one of the children, believes that they are a cat, are not permitted to correct the child. So when they ask the child a question, if the child answers with a purr, they have to accept that. Again, once you open that door to accepting these things, see, the adversary, he suggests these ideas. You see? And here's the other piece, and this is one of the reasons why I have become a stickler when it comes to intellectualism. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. Because what you're also going to find, all of these belief systems are rooted in intellectualism in some way, shape, or form. And one of the people that was mentioned in regard to promoting this belief system, you know what his intention was? Although we may not believe it in this context, it was to destroy Judeo-Christian mindset. Think about that. To destroy that. Now, we may not agree with everything Christians teach. We may not agree with everything Jews teach, but we understand that their teachings are drawn from the Word. So, in essence, this is an attack on the Word of Yah, period. This is the world that we're living in today, okay? This is the world that we are currently living in. This is the climate. This is the landscape. Well, let's get back to what we're talking about. And we stopped at the word Adam, right? Now, what we understand in regard to the Hebrew language. The Hebrew language is based on what we refer to as a bilateral root, what we've learned to be called a parent root, because you got the two letters, the masculine and the feminine. Okay, you got the greater, you got the lesser, et cetera. All right? Well, it's connected to the term Dalet Mem. That's the parent root. Now, the word in 1745, this word is Duma. We learned about this years ago. Duma, right? This word means to be dumb, silent, figuratively, deaf. And it's coming from the exact same root. So now, when you look at the word Dalet Mem, that is the term for blood. So how does the term for blood associate with death? Well, here's the idea. Think about what happens when our blood is shed. If we're losing blood, you know what the ultimate result is? We become silent. You know why? Because we die. That's the connection. So when, going back to our starting point, when the scripture says their eyes are open, because this term is numerically connected to a deep sleep, at the moment that Adam and Hawa did this, they entered into what Murei Ariel framed in the spirit. Now let's go back up to something else. Let's go back up to verse 6. Because these three areas are the exact same areas that Brother Shlomo has covered in Kohelet, Ecclesiastes. Now, in verse 6, again, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, this is a reference to what people have labeled hedonism. We're going to define these terms in a moment. Then it states, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. This now refers to materialism. Goes on, and a tree could be desired to make one wise. And that is the intellectualism. See, again, the brothers and I, we were talking recently. And one of the things that man has, and I'm talking about humanity, humanity has a God complex. Now, some people may hear that and say, well, isn't that the reason why the Creator made him, to be in his image and after his likeness? You're absolutely right. He created man to be in his image and after his likeness. But, and there is a but, there's a particular way that the Most High has laid out for us to accomplish and to reach that goal. Think about why he refers to this entire body of work as Surah or Torah. How many of you have looked up that term? How many of you have seen that there's another word related to it that means journey? How many of you have learned that there's another word related to it, which means to point or to direct? And when we contrast that with the word sin, and when we define that based on the Hebrew term kata, it means to miss the mark. So there's a particular goal that we need to accomplish, and there's a specific way that the Most High has designed for us to get there. But if we do not take that route, how do we get there? So what man has done, and why the word God comp or the term God complex is used, is because humanity is trying to be God the wrong way. And that's the problem. They're trying to reach that goal in a way that the Most High did not determine, as Mashiach Yahushua said. They're trying to come up the other way. See? And I believe, again, the brothers and I, we talked about this recently. And that goes right back to when Mashiach said, I am the way. See, you know the rest. You don't accomplish that goal of being like the Most High if you go any other way. That's why he said not to go to the right, not to go to the left. But let's move on. So we have these three. We have hedonism, materialism, and intellectualism. Okay? So what is intellectualism? Got three definitions here. Well, two definitions for intellectualism. One, intellectualism is defined as devotion to exercise or development of the intellect. Now, let me say this. There's nothing wrong with people who want to go to school, get an education to pursue whatever goal that it is that you want to pursue. I mean, the Creator wants us to be educated as well. But we also have to understand education. It's like, matter of fact, the brother mentioned something last night. It's like people become so educated to their detriment. And he named two people, Professor Cornel West and Professor Eric Michael Dyson, okay, who are educated. Very much so. Maybe even considered to be scholars or intellectuals of this day and age. But because they have accepted this lifestyle we're just referring to, that shows that they too, in spite of all the education they have, they lack common sense. They have become too educated for their own good. Okay? Now, there's a philosophy behind intellectualism as well. It says, one, the doctrine that reason is the ultimate criterion of knowledge. Now think about that. Reason is the ultimate criterion of knowledge. The doctrine that deliberate action is consequent on a process of conscious or subconscious reasoning. That's intellectualism. So man has gotten to this point, which is why they no longer believe in the word. You see? That's why Brother Shaul, he had to write something specifically to the Romans. He says, matter of fact, and my brother said, let me turn to that and read that in your hearing. And this is coming from Romans chapter 1. Everybody's with me. Somebody send me a thumbs up. What I'm about. Let me just run here real quick. And I had to scroll down in Romans chapter 1 to find this particular verse that I'm looking for. Okay. It says Romans chapter 1, verse 21. He said, because that, because that, when they knew Elohim, they glorified him not as Elohim, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Listen to that. See? He's talking about a very particular incident in mankind's life. There was a time, and even after the breach in the spirit took place, Adam was very much aware that Yahweh existed. The relationship that they had with him had changed. They began to become distant. And if you can look at the time that that breach happened till today, mankind has been on this downward spiral. So what the Most High did, he gave us these fish called salmon. And one of the things that takes place with salmon, for some reason, if I remember correctly, and y'all can, correct me if this is wrong, they swim against the, what you call it, the tide or the current. And this, a salmon is a clean fish, by the way. So he gave us this. So when you think about humanity on that downward spiral, and in the course of us going on that downward spiral, somebody hears the voice of the Most High. And they stop where the world is still on this downward spiral, but then they turn around, they do what we call an about face. And they began to walk against everybody that's walking towards them. See? And maybe at some point, as we're walking against everybody coming towards us, we know there's somebody else that's walking the same direction. And maybe they heard that same voice. So we reach out to grab their hand. They reach out to grab our hand. And then once we connect, we can form a unity. That means we'll be able to help each other go against this tide if everybody follows me. You see? This is what has taken place. This is what is taking place in humanity today. But let's go back to our example. So that's intellectualism. That's one way. The next is hedonism. Hedonism, number one, it says pursuit of or devotion to pleasure, especially to the pleasure of the senses. So I felt it was necessary as we come to this point that we get a good understanding of those senses. Like the movie, like to say, I will make it do what it do, my brother. I will make it do what it do. All y'all got to do is pay attention to what he doing. Watch how he moves. He's moving. No, we're not the most popular. No, we don't have masses walking up and down the street. But I can attest that what I will reveal is the truth, whether the masses accept it or not. And if we pay attention to what the word is teaching us, the majority of Israel was always in the wrong. It was never a whole lot of them. It was always a faithful few. Always. Why do you think he keeps telling us this over and over? But our people be so caught up into this idea the majority rules. The majority does not rule. The majority is on that wide and that broad way. See, he said it's only going to be a few people on the narrow and straight. And guess what? They got to find it. And the problem is not a lot of people even looking. You know why? Because the majority of people are pursuing pleasure. The philosophy behind hedonism is this. The ethical doctrine holding that only what is pleasant or has pleasant consequences is intrinsically good. So what the adversary now has to do, he has to suggest, see, the power of suggestion. He has to suggest that this way of life is unpleasant. And what does he do? I remember Chris Rock had a show years ago, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, the point that he's making, but I just want to use this example that was in his show. So now we know, according to Judaism, they believe that the New Year starts on Tishri 1, which we don't adhere to that doctrine. Number one, we don't acknowledge it as Tishri, we acknowledge it as Afanim, because that's what Holy Scripture refers to that. And we don't acknowledge that as being the beginning of the year, even though there's an explanation in regards to the religious year and the secular year. But here's the question, and God said, I'm going to give this example. Why is it that on the, and how can you, on what you are acknowledging as the seventh month, because in the Torah, it says that certain things are supposed to happen on the new moon of the seventh month, the 10th day of the seventh month, the 15th day of the seventh month, and then you count 8 days after of the seventh month. So you are acknowledging it's the seventh month, but when Aviv the first come around, how come there's no Shana Tuva on Aviv the first? I never understood that. How are you going to say it's Rosh Hashanah in the middle of the year? Never understood that. But anyway, here's the point. On Chris Rock's show, he shows all of the hoopla that's going on January the 1st when they're about to drop the bulb and all that type of stuff. And then he was in Times Square, I believe. So he's being in Times Square on December 31st opposed to being in Times Square on, you know, the eve of Tishri the first, he was making this comparison, right? So in other words, he's making fun. Jews say this is the beginning of the year, and ain't nobody doing nothing out here. Whereas if you look at what the world is doing, you see what they're doing, and I use that to say this. Humanity has this need to belong. They don't just want to belong to the unpopular because somebody told us years ago, well, you know what? I don't have time to wait for, you know, this place to get built up. I want to go to some place that's already established. You want to belong to something, but you want to belong to something that in your mind you believe has already been established. And that's because they got, years of history, and they got this building that they have in their service and everything is every Saturday. And then you got this other group that doesn't have that. And in your mind, you're thinking that represents what? The Most High? That represents the truth? And now they're part of this congregation who don't even believe in the Messiah. This is years ago, though. I'm just thinking back. But my point again, humanity has this desire to want to belong, but not to just anything. They want to go to the big places. They want to be able to say, I go to Bethel AME Church because that's a popular church. Nobody wants to say they belong to this congregation that meets in the park every Saturday. They don't even have a building. But there's an understanding that people got to come to. Get a building, hallelujah. Don't get a building, hallelujah. What we've come to understand, we are the lively stones. We are. Why do you think the tabernacle was portable in the wilderness? Wow. He's teaching us something. It ain't about that. We're going to get a building. I'm not saying anything to say, oh, we're going to get a, we're going to get a place. Abba, if y'all really want a place, how you going to show forth that you want a place? How you going to show forth? Fellowship. You really enjoy the fellowship? What the male people, what the host lobster say? Rain, snow, sleet or hail, right? Now we're not going to be as unrealistic to have anybody out there in the snow and the hail. But I'm just making a point. Unless you you're sick and you have some type of ailment that can be transmitted, what reason do you have not to fellowship? Yeah, we're in the park, but here's the blessing of it all. Regardless of where we are, why is it that we always bless with a nice, cool space? And it'd be hot out there, but the area Abba gave us. Now, one Sabbath, we were just a little too far, but once we find the right spot, we good. But anyway, not to jump on that point too much. Let's keep it moving. We talk about healing. So we looked at the pursuit of or devotion to pleasure, especially to the pleasures of the senses. We got the philosophical take, the ethical doctrine holding that only what is pleasant or has pleasant consequences is sufficiently good. Then you have the psychological definition, the doctrine holding that behavior is motivated by the desire for pleasure and the avoidance of pain. Okay? That's hedonism. That's why you've got, and this kind of ties into what we're going to talk about a little later, but that's why you've got, you know, what they call hot girl summer man. See? That's why you've got among sisters today, they are given justification to what they refer to as the hoe phase. You see? That's why you had a movement that started years ago called the slut walk. Whereas they are justifying walking around in promiscuous clothing. Yes, promiscuous clothing, revealing clothing. And keep in mind what's going on. Suggestions. See, pleasures. Even when it comes to finding a place of worship. I've got to find the God of my understanding. See? The God of your understanding may not be the one who requires you to not do anything on the Sabbath day. The God of your understanding may not be the one who requires you to have a husband or to have a wife before you start intermingling with one another. See? The God of your understanding may not want you to have a very refined diet, meaning that you just can't eat, excuse me, what you want to eat, when you want to eat, how much of it you want to eat. There are various parameters that we have to follow, you see. The God of my understanding allows me to pretty much do whatever I want to do and be whoever I want to be because he's a real God of love, you see. He allows me to express real freedom, you see. This is how the adversary makes these suggestions. And I want to keep this in the forefront of your mind in regards to suggestions, because what we don't want to get caught up into, that, like the saying goes, the devil made me do it. The devil makes no one do anything. When we read that excerpt of Hawa, he didn't make her eat, but he certainly made suggestions. And those suggestions spawned different thoughts. And she chose to eat. And he chose to eat, you see. So when it comes to doing evil, when it comes to committing sin, we choose to do it. Nobody makes us do anything. We choose to do these things. So what the Most High wants us to do, he wants us to make better choices. That's all. You know what he said? I can just imagine him, choose me. You know, and it's funny because you got this, and we're going to talk about some things later. But so these lessons, to some degree, are kind of blending right now. So I would make it do what it do. I was worse than what it is. Here's the thing. You have some sisters coming to the realization what they're supposed to be. They talk about being submissive and all sorts of stuff, right? So now the people who still are who caught up into, you know, the whole phase and who caught up into the hot girl summer phase and who caught up into the other stuff, which we'll talk about later, they call these sisters who want to be wives, they call them pick-me. It's crazy the world that we're living in today. So now they got to turn pick me. I see you got that pick me energy. But here's the thing. Let's scratch all of that. You know who was a pick me? Abba. He a pick me. You know what he said? Pick me. Choose me. Here's the thing. I'm going to let you know right up front. You got water. You got fire. You got the blessing. You got the curse. You got life. You got death. Choose life. In other words, pick me. In order for us to pick him, sometimes we got to go through some things. Hence, call her left. So let's get back. The last thing, then we're going to move forward. Materialism, okay? One, materialism is defined as concern for possessions or material wealth and physical comfort, especially to the exclusion, and I'm going to emphasize this part, especially to the exclusion of spiritual or intellectual pursuit. Now, I don't fully agree with too much with the intellectual part of it based on what we just learned, but it's the spiritual part. You see? Philosophically, materialism has been defined as the doctrine that physical matter is the only reality and that everything, including thought, feeling, mind, and will, can be explained in terms of matter and physical phenomena. So now, it's from that aspect of it, you know what that just did? That just built upon those who got this ideology that they don't believe in, you know, some old man that's up there in the clouds, in the sky, who wants to give you all your promise, you know, give you all the, you know, your wishes and answer all your prayers. They don't believe in that. That's fictitious to them. And to be quite frank, we don't believe in that either. Hold up, brother. Don't even, yeah, but in the form and fashion that it's being explained, no, we don't believe in that. We do believe that there is a supreme being and a higher power. If there were not utilizing their science, life can only come from pre-existing life. We have life in us. So in order for us to have life, there had to have been something greater than us to give us life. That's their science that proves that. There's a teaching in regard to the first law of thermodynamics. We talked about these things before. Energy cannot be created. Basically, energy is eternal, which is why the Most High introduces himself as Bereshit Bara Elohim, powers, mighty ones, energies. See? And what did he do? He gave to Adam, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. In other words, he gave him energy, and he became alive. Everybody that's alive and walking around doing whatever they're doing today, it's because they have been given that energy by the supreme energy. See? That's what we believe. Now you have the third one. This is the theory or attitude that physical well-being and worldly possessions constitute the greatest good and highest value in life. So now look at our celebrities. You ever wonder why is it necessary for us to know what people make a year? What difference does it make? Why do they have a show called Lifestyle of the Rich and the Famous? Why do they have a show called cleanse? Why is it that in our music today, especially, and I say I'm talking about black folk, because I don't hear that. I haven't anyway. It's not like I've heard every country song, no. And if it's classical music, well, it's just music. There's no words to it. I haven't heard of and blues. I mean, that blues is what it is, you know. So why is it that in our genre called hip hop, you know, and this goes back to the very first hip hop song. I got a color TV so I can see the Knicks plays basketball. Here we talking about checkbook, credit card, no money. Been a sucker, could ever spend, if I remember all that correctly. But it's the very first hip hop song. You're talking about possession, materialism. The very first. So it's not new. It's been around. So why is it that we boasting about that? Because it has value to us. Having things, having possessions. So what do all these have in common? Materialism, hedonism, intellectualism. What do they all have in common? And if you pay attention, they are all rooted in selfishness. Selfishness. Which is the total opposite of the Most High. See? So Brother Shlomo, he was blessed and he touches on how each of these affects us in what he calls vapor. Vapor. All is vapor. You're trying to get all of this, and in the end, what you're going to find out, it means absolutely nothing. But guess what? It has been all orchestrated by the Most High for a purpose. This world system, this is what we got to keep in mind. What the world system represents is the dark side. Okay? It represents the dark side. A lot of people don't realize that. You look out in the world right now, and I'm looking out the window, and it's bright sun. It's a beautiful day out today. But we are all in darkness, in the people's gross darkness, if we believe what Holy Scripture teaches. And when it says that, it's beyond this physical, talking about what's happening in our spirit, because there's a breach. It was broken. Yes, the brother gave the answer. Yes, the breach in the spirit has been mended. Every human being, we learned this years ago, every human being has been saved. Every human being. Yah so loved the world. And when he said the world, no, he's not just talking about Israel. He means every human being in the world. Every human being that in the past. Think about it in this context. Before the Messiah did what he did, right? They were told that the Messiah was going to do what he was going to do. Israel was taught about a Savior. Matter of fact, Yahweh said, I am your Savior. Besides me, there is no Savior. So he was telling Israel that. But he was promising that he was going to do something. I'm going to save you, Israel. I'm going to save you, Israel. I'm going to save you, Israel. So now, Mashiach comes. The word, Yahweh Elohim, becomes flesh. And he performs the sacrificial work. And because of the blood that was shed for us all, humanity now has access to salvation, which is why the New Testament exists, because it was necessary for us to write and give testimony that Yahweh Elohim fulfilled his word and became the Savior he promised he would be. That's why we have the New Testament writing, to show showcase that. That's why Mashiach Yahusha is the focal point. He promised something in the writings of old, and he fulfilled it. And we have to let y'all know about that. Okay? So now, everybody after the fact, they are believing in a work that was done. Everybody before the fact believed in a work that was going to be done. You see? Those who lived at the time of Mashiach Yahushua, they were a blessed people. And it's sad, but a lot of them didn't even realize it. So let's move on. Another passage. And this is 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. And then we're going to move into Ecclesiastes chapter 6, okay? And it's only 12 verses, so it shouldn't be that bad. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15, he says, and this is Brother Yuchanan now. And this is the exact same thought that we learn about in the garden. He says, love not the world. So again, when you think about the world system is in darkness. The world is in darkness, but people's gross darkness. This is the condition. It's what it is. With the exception being the Israel of Yah. And when I say the Israel of Yah, understand this. I'm not talking about every biological descendant of Israel. That's not who we're talking about. And like the Murray touched on last night, just to reiterate his point, when it comes to Ibri, when it comes to being a Hebrew, when it comes to be one who represents from the other side, everybody does not fall in that category. Okay? They don't. When he talks about that, see, he did something. If we look at how I would do what he do in his word, how he reveals, see, and if I can, just real quick, since we talk. Enoch walked with Elohim. Noach walked with Elohim. Okay? Noach had a son named Shem. He says, blessed be Yahweh, mighty one of Shem. See, that connects us with Shem now. He's given us these breadcrumbs to watch because there's a limit that he's dealing with. The fact that he's dealing with Shem, now what that talks about, there's a name. And when you think about the term Shem, which actually means name, you're not just talking about what he's called. You're talking about his reputation. You're talking about his character. So blessed be Yahweh, mighty one of Shem. And then this is what he did. He says that Shem is going to be the father of Eber, or where we get the term Hebrew from. He made a connection from Shem to Eber. Eber was somebody that falls in the lineage of Shem. But when he said that, if you're going to do a lineage, we already know that at some point we're going to come across Eber. But the fact that it was inspired by the Most High to mention specifically before Eber comes along, Shem, the father of Eber, Yahweh making a connection for us. That's going to be the next focal point. Is Eber, and the very first person who was called Eber was Abraham. And like the brother brought up, no other people that come from Eber's line has ever been referred to as Eber in Holy Scripture, because that's what we're basing this on. All Scripture was given by inspiration of Elohim. Holy mistake that they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So this is the creator. He's writing this narrative, and that particular point, he wants us to focus on. And who came from Abraham, who was referred to as a Hebrew? Then comes Isaac. Then comes Jacob. Then comes Israel. See? But going back, when I say the Israel of Yah, I'm not talking about every biological descendant. No, I'm talking about those who meet the criteria, those who keep the commandments of Yah and have the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach. Those are the ones that's different. But this is what we also have to understand. At some point, we were all caught up in this dark system, this world system. So he said, and this is a message, this book, from Genesis to Revelation, written to the Israel of Yah, is written to his people. It's not written for the whole world. It's written for those who have a hunger and a thirst to do what is right. But that does not classify every human being. It classifies sanctifies those who want to be in the Most High's good graces. So one of his prophets teaches his people, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do we understand that? Is that clear enough for us? Listen to what it says. All that is in the world. First thing he says, the lust of the flesh. That's hedonism. See? That's everybody seeking to fulfill their pleasure. Then he says, and the lust of the eyes. That's materialism. Look at what I got. Look at my Maybach. Look at my 500-room mansion. Look at my tennis bracelet. So look at this, what you call those necklaces, Cuban links. Look at my closet. Look at all the sneakers I got. See, that's materialism. Lust of the eye. And then he said, and the pride of life. That's your intellectualism. Look at all the plaques that I have on my wall. Look at all the degrees that I've accomplished. Look at all the letters that I have behind my name. Look at how everybody calls me doctor when I walk down the street, or calls me professor, and they look up to me. Look at the books I've written, and et cetera. See? So all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Said, for those who say gain is godliness, from such turn away. That don't prove I'm with somebody because you got a bunch of money. That's not it. He says, verse 17, and the world passes away. And the lust thereof. See, that's the thing. That's that finality. So it's better for me to not believe in God and live my life and do what I want to do. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God because I don't want to accept the fact an end is coming. You see? And one of the things that I shared with this brother, and this is the thought, whenever you come across people who just deny the word, ridicule the word, et cetera, keep that same energy. That's all I will say. Keep that same energy. Because, see, it is appointed to men once to die. And I know, why you got to go to that extreme? Because this is the reality. Every breath we take, we're getting closer to the last one. One day, we're going to look at that time, and that's going to be the last time we check the time. We don't know when that's coming. It's a reality. People die all the time. There's an actress who was in a car accident last week. Death died yesterday. There was a woman who was trying to kill herself a week or so ago. She ended up killing six other people, and she survived. But now her life is ruined because she's going to jail for that. Those six people didn't know that was going to happen to them. That woman didn't know that would be the last time she was driving in traffic. You never know. It's a reality. But see, if I don't believe in a higher power, and if I hold to, you know, my belief in sight, that there's nothing. See, here's the thing. Now, let's do the opposite. They partook of that fruit, that forbidden fruit. Their eyes was open, but simultaneously they entered into that deep sleep, right? The exact opposite happens when we die. See, right now, we're still subjected to the adversary, and we're still subjected to the suggestions that's being made to us under the sun. See? Once we die to this physical world, and we go back to the spirit, that you're not deceived at that point, because it's like your eyes closed to all the deception, and you wake up to the reality that you mean to tell me you're for real? You mean to tell me all these years that I've been living? If you can talk to George Carlin, he got a different story to tell. Why do you think Messiah gave us that parable? See? Lazarus and the rich man. Right? Why do you think he gave that to us? The rich man. See, that's what we're talking about. He amassed all this wealth. He just thought he was it. But when he crossed up, and Lazarus was probably looked at, or Eliezer was looked at as not having anything. But when he crossed over, guess who was up in Abraham's bosom? And guess who was in a place longing for something cool to drink? Now, listen to me. I'm not saying anybody goes to heaven or goes to hell. We know that's not the case. This was a parable. And the creator, Mashiach Yahushua, he was only given that to teach us something. See? And what that man said, who was in that place, he wanted to come over to the other side. He said, no, the barrier between us is too great. You can't get to this side. He said, well, can you do this? Can you please send somebody back to let my family know? See? How many people, when they close their eyes and they enter into that reality, they're going to be filled with regret because they made the wrong choice and it's too late at that point. No take back. You had an opportunity. You lived your life and you made your choice and you opened up to this reality and you regret. That's why the sign said there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. People are going to regret the decision that they made. But they can't change it now. So here's the question. Do we want to be weeping and gnashing our teeth in this physical world because of all of the turmoil that we go through for rejecting it? Or do we want to have the weeping and gnashing of teeth when we close these eyes one last time and we realize that we made the wrong choice? See? And the choice is ours. The choice is ours. So let me read through this. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, starting at verse 4. He says, and this is Brother Shlomo, he says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun. And this is another theme, again, under the sun. See? He keeps saying this. He's talking about everything that takes place in this physical world, on this physical plane. The world is in darkness, the people's gross darkness. Keep that in mind. Evil which I've seen under the sun, and it is heavy on men. A man to whom Ha'alahim gives riches, wealth, and honor, so that he lacks nothing for his soul of all that he desires. Yet Ha'alahim gives him no power to eat of it, but an alien eats it. This is vaporous, and it is an evil disease. Think about it. And as human beings, we have to ask the question, what are we living for? What are we giving our lives to? What is it? As individuals. This has absolutely nothing to do with what your parents are doing. It has nothing to do with what your spouse is doing. It has to do with what you or we as individuals are choosing for ourselves. That's why we got to see that song Michael Jackson made. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. You got to look at the man in the mirror. Don't focus on anything else. Focus on you. See, we as individuals, I can only control what I do. When I wake up every day, give praise to the Most High for allowing me to see another day, when I get out that bed, am I going to stand up on my two feet and live my life in obedience to his word? Or am I going to live my life disobeying his word? Am I going to be seeking what is pleasing to the Most High? Or am I going to be seeking what's pleasing to me? Now, when I say that, the Creator is not saying that you can't go out, have jobs. We understand that. And I still have to say that because I don't want people to be locked in and think, oh, my God, what else? No, it's not a way of life to make you frantic. to make you worrisome or overly anxious. That's not what the way of the Most High does. All it does, it gives you parameters on how to live our life. So if I have a job, when I go to my job, I know my do's and my don'ts. See? That the word now guides me and the decisions that I make. That's all that means. That doesn't mean that you don't make decisions. You know, you have to go to work. You have to have a livelihood. But when you're doing whatever it is that you do, it's the Creator there with you. See? Because we can bring him with us or we can reject him. Remember what they said? Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. We don't want to hear his word. Talk to us about the smooth things, the pleasant things. Isn't that hedonism? I want to know about all the stuff that's going to be pleased to me. Tell me about how he's going to bless me. Don't tell me about how I got to obey his voice. Just tell me how, you know, Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I'm going to receive salvation. And because I'm connected to Jesus Christ, I'm just going to be showered with a multitude of blessings. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear that I'm supposed to do something. See? That's what the adversary has suggested to the world. That's not what the word of Yah teach. But anyway, let's keep it moving. He says, verse 3, and again, the point here, before I go too far, you have an individual, been given the riches, the wealth, and the honor. He's not lacking anything, but he hasn't got the opportunity to enjoy it. See? And it goes right back to Mashiach, and when he was talking about the man who amassed all this wealth, and he said in his mind, and now what I'm going to do, I'm going to sit this. He stored all this wealth up in his barn, remember this? He said, now what I'm going to do, I'm going to sit down, eat, drink, and be merry. And then he said, you fool, this night your life will be taken from you, or your soul will be required of you. So he didn't get to do that. He didn't get to enjoy that. That's why I said, and a stranger going to eat it. So you mean you're going to put all your work and your effort into obtaining these billions of dollars, and you're not going to enjoy it? The people in the world probably say, well, if you got business up, how come you can't do it? Well, in this example right here, this person dies. Okay, but let's move on. He's not finished. In verse 3, he says, if a man fathers 100, okay, and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not filled with good. See, now he's talking about the opposite. In the first example, he's talking about somebody whose life was short. They amassed all this wealth and didn't get to enjoy it. And this one, you can live as long as you want to live. Listen to what he says. If a man fathers 100, and he's talking about having offspring, and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not filled with good, and moreover, he has no burial. Talking about he haven't died. I say that a stillborn child is better than he. Listen to this. But let's understand the point that he's making. He says, but his soul is not filled with good. So you got longevity, you got this long life, but your soul is not filled with good. The child who was born too early and it was born, listen to what he's saying. And he's talking about a stillborn child. And I got two references here. Job 3:16, and it's using the same term that's translated as stillborn child. It says, or as a hidden untimely birth, the word untimely birth here in Job 3:16, same word as stillborn child, or as a hidden untimely birth I had not been, as infants who never saw light. So the implication is he's talking about somebody, what do they call it? I can't even think of that. It's not an abortion. It's the other thing, miscarriage, or somebody who was born premature. In Psalms 58:8, he says, let them be like a snail which melts and passes away, like the stillborn child who has not seen the sun. So when he says this, he says, I say that a stillborn child is better than he. This man has, you know, long life, hasn't died, he's not filled with good, but a person who is not even existing in this physical world is better than he. Listen to what he says. I'm going to read verse 3 to 4 and go through so you can get the thought of it. If a man swallows 100 and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not filled with good, has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better than he. For it comes in vapor, the word vanity again, it comes in vapor and departs in darkness, and its name is covered with darkness. Moreover, it has not seen the sun nor known it. This has rest rather than the other. This individual that was born dead, stillbirth, is better off than the individual that lived a long life and had no good in their heart. He says, verse 6, yes, though he live 1,000 years twice told, and yet fails to enjoy good, don't all go to one place. See, this is why Ecclesiastes is referred to as the party pooper. It's like that old saying, life is fleet and then you die. You know? And that's true. You know, and again, I believe Abba led me this direction to go through this because of what I've been going through. And the reality is, everybody is not going to have what they want, what they seek and after seek. It's like, again, that's why I say you're trying to grab that vapor, and you can't grab it. You can't grasp it. So, no, your life may not turn out the way that you wanted it to turn out. But you're not the only one. And even if a person appears to have everything that you desire, that doesn't mean they having a good life either. You see? And we're learning these things. Everybody that has money is not happy. Because we think if you're a person that doesn't have a lot of money, you think that your happiness is going to come from accumulating a lot of money. No, it doesn't. We have examples around us that prove that to us. You know, and one of the things that I've said before, and helped me, and Abba helped me to come to this realization, and I'm not saying this to say people shouldn't go vacation and go to wherever they like to go. But the point is, once you've been to one beach, you've pretty much been to them all. A palm tree is a palm tree, whether it's in California, whether it's in Jamaica, whether it's in Punta Cana, it's just a palm tree. White sands and clear water, you see that all over the place. And once you go there, all you just did was create a memory, and guess what? At some point, after the days you left that place and you get back to your life and you start doing other things, that memory gets pushed further and further back. And it's all it is a memory. And then it's a fading memory at that. But we put so much stock. So this is the people, again, he's never trying to seek faith. I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. And they're trying to find enjoyment in these things. But in actuality, what you find, you haven't found the true happiness. And here's the thing. As human beings who have that breach in our spirit, we all seek it for the exact same thing. The exact same thing. But because of deception, we don't know what that is. So we go through hedonism, we go through materialism, we go through intellectualism, and we seek a sucker. But what we're seeking is that relationship that has been breached, that relationship that has been severed. And that's why Ecclesiastes exists. Shlomo got the cover. It's like, you know, when we were talking years ago, Rabbi used to teach us, leave no stone unturned. Well, this is what Brother Shlomo is doing. He's leaving no stone unturned. We want to touch on a lot of different life situations that everybody goes through. And who better to tell you than a person who possessed everything? All the things that people is looking for, and not only from my standpoint and from my experience, because the Most High blessed me with wisdom, I'm able to now observe what's going on in everybody else's life and make determinations, which is what he's doing right now. He's observing things that happen in other people's life, and because of the wisdom that the Most High gave to him, he's able to now draw from that and teach us from other people's experience. is it right here. All the labor of man is for his mouth. See? And yet the appetite is not filled. Think about this. Now, right now, if I describe myself to some degree, no, I'm not going to say to some degree, I'm content. I'm learning to be content. You know, I'm willing, I like to have a wife again. Not my will, his will be done. I pray that it's his will be done. I mean, you know about heart, about all things. But I've learned to be content. Okay? So, and I say that to say this. What do I need a 500-room mansion? I'm just being extreme with it. What do I need? You know what? I like my little van. Somebody called it the silver bullet. I like my little silver bullet. It gets me where I need to go. And I just pray that Allah give me the resources to fix it. I'm satisfied. As long as I can get, when I need to go somewhere, I can get out and get in that silver bullet and go where I need to go. I'm satisfied. I don't need a Corvette. And I've been thinking about that recently, funny thing. You know, if I were to bless me with another vehicle, I would like to get a nice old sports car. That's neither here nor there. And I don't need it. That's the thought. And I'm fine with that. I don't need a whole, what I need millions of dollars for. I ain't going to spend it all. I mean, the most I can do is just be charitable and give it and help other people out. What am I going to do with it? I'm fine where I am. This house right here, I'm good. If this is the last place for me, hallelujah. I'm thankful just to have a roof over my head. And my point is, again, you got so many people in the world who are trying to fulfill their appetite, and they're never satisfied because I need to accumulate more wealth. I need to accumulate more degrees. I need to accumulate more pleasure, you know? No, but you're never being satisfied. You're never being content. You never think, I'm just going to throw this out here, and then I'm going to finish up the reading. Who would have thought that 5 millionaire people had so much issues going on in their life? And I'm talking about Will and Jada Smith. Multi-millionaires. And guess what? They got personal problems. They got issues. But anyway, verse 8. Oh, and another thing, too, about verse 7. Let me read that again. Another point. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. So now, not only do we see the example of selfishness, which we just mentioned, selfishness is now coupled with greed. Greed. And we talked about that last time, if I was able to speak. When it comes to a man wanting to be with a whole bunch of women, and people like to say, I mean, well, it's because of this, it's because of that. No, there's one reason why a man wants to be with a whole bunch of women, and that is called greed. Simple and plain. It's called greed. Because when he made Adam and Hawa, he made one man and one woman. He didn't make one man and seven other wives. No, he didn't do that. Because one man can be satisfied with one woman. Now, you have history. Now, we understand the permissive will of the Most High, which allows a man to be with more than one wife, depending on his status. And what I mean by that, if you're a priest, you can't be with more than one wife. You have to be the husband of one wife. Same thing if you're a deacon or a Levite, which is comparable. No, you're supposed to be with one wife. But the average Israelite, yeah, you can be with more than one, but there's a parameter even with that. But I'm not going to get too far into that. But my point again, selfishness. covetousness being coupled with greed is what he's talking about in verse 7. Verse 8. For what advantage has the wise more than the fool? What has the poor man that knows how to walk before the living? Better, and think about it, it's like no matter whether you're wise, no matter whether you're a fool, no matter whether you are a poor man that knows how to walk. In other words, you're a poor man, but you have understanding and you know how to walk before the living. None of that really makes a difference. And this is Brother Shlomo's point, because we all going to the exact same place. He says, verse 9, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. See, when he says the wandering of the desire, you know what he's talking about? Everybody chasing after what it is they want. Be it the hedonism, be it the materialism, be it the intellectualism. See? He says, better is the sight of the eye, being able to appreciate what it is that you have, learning to be content. See? He said, this is also vaporous and a chasing after wind. Verse 10, he says, whatever has been, name was given long ago, and it is known what man is. See, man, we are wrestling with something. See? What is it that we're wrestling with? He says, neither can he contend with him who is mightier than he. What is he talking about? He said, for there are many words that create vanity or vapors. What does that profit man? See, man has a fate, which we've been talking about. Man's fate is the fact that we are mortal. We're going to die. So that's why they come up with these clever phrases. YOLO. You only live once. YOLO is supposed to be the catchword, which means, or the catchphrase, which means, man, live your life and get the best, enjoy your life while you got it. You only live once. See? Because that fate is coming. He says, for there are many words that create vanity. So he's talking about no matter how much you complain about it, no matter what it is that you say about it, you ain't changing it. He says, what does that profit? Nothing. Because guess what? We all still die one day. That's like the Messiah said, what you worried about it for? Just you worrying about it ain't going to get, you worrying ain't going to add a status or stature to your height. It's not going to make you get any taller. It's not going to change anything for you. Same thing, that's talking about, complaining about over and over. It's not going to change your faith. He says, for who knows what is good for man in life? Listen to the question. All the days of his vain life, which he spends like a shadow. See? Like this. In other words, here today, gone tomorrow. Think about smoke. Now that me and the brothers we have taken up smoking cigars and you know, you can take your puff and you let that smoke go, and that smoke is there for a moment, and then what is it? It disappears. It's thick when it first comes out, and then as it goes up in the sky, it just breaks up and disappears. That's what our life is like, a vapor. See? For who knows what is good for man in life? But listen to that question. All the days of his reign, life, which he spends like a shadow. For who can tell a man what will be after him under the sun? See, and when he says these things, he's talking about that mortality. He's talking about our ultimate fate, which is death. Again, this is why Ecclesiastes is called the party pooper. No matter what you do in your life, guess what? You're going to die one day. That's the reality. We all going to die one day. What are we going to do with the time that we had? Start right here, as if I had a choice. Time is almost up anyway. But anyway, all right. So, talk a little bit more later on today. Hallelujah. And we're going to get into some other things I would put on our hearts and our minds. So, Blessed are you, Yahusha, King of the universe, Rock of all eternity, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does are righteous and true. Trustworthy are you, Yahusha, our power, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahusha, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his works. Hallelujah, Bishim Yahusha HaMashiach. Abba, as always, we thank you for the blessing of life and the blessing of your compassion, the blessing of your forgiveness. And we ask you to cleanse each and every one of us by the blood of Yahusha of our iniquity. Abba, the words of Kohelet, engrave them upon our hearts, upon our minds, to better understand why you gave Brother Shlomo this message, why it is pertinent for us even today. Abba, we ask you to continue blessing those who are suffering from physical ailments with healing and recovery. We pray that you continue blessing those who are suffering from loss of loved ones with comfort and with strength to endure. And we pray that you bless us over the course of this day, that we all come together in fellowship in a unity of your spirit, that we may give praise, glory, and honor to thee, for you are worthy to be praised by the whole of your creation. We ask these things humbly and sincerely in Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior and our Redeemer. Hallelujah.
Because you have rejected his instructions.